I'm going to talk about how Jesus was treated. I've never heard anybody preach on how Jesus was treated before. In Isaiah chapter 53, we have an example or information on how Jesus Christ was treated. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever been mistreated? Have anybody ever took advantage of you? So you know how it feels to be mistreated? You and I are not perfect, and we're subject to be mistreated. But Jesus was perfect, and he was mistreated. So if we're imperfect and being mistreated, look how much more serious it is when people mistreat Jesus, the perfect one. The perfect one. In Isaiah, first of all, I want you to turn in your Bible because y'all need to look at this too. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. That's the first verse. And then we're going to 53 for the main body. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. As we think about how Jesus, God's Son, was treated. Listen to this. He says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. You men, if you had a beard, think how that feels, somebody to pull the hair off of your face. Jesus said that's what happened to them. He allowed it. He said, I hid not my face from shame and spitting in his face. That's how Jesus, our Savior, was treated, church. Talking about your Savior, he stood there. He allowed it. Now turn over to chapter 52 of Isaiah. Chapter 52, look down at verse 14. As many were astoned at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, his visage, that is, his face. Jesus Christ was so beaten in the face by the soldiers, he was not even recognizable as a man. Think about that. He stood there and allowed that. And his form than the sons of men. Under Jewish law, a person could be whipped with stripes 39 times. That was under the Jews. But under Roman law, there was no limit. And when the soldiers were scourging Jesus, they beat him so severely. So often. There's no telling how many lashes they struck Jesus with. That's how he was treated. And he said in the verse we just read before, I gave my back. In other words, he allowed all this. He had power not to allow it. But he came for this. And I want you to get this in your hearts and mind fully this morning. He came to take our place and pay our sin to death. And that's what he's starting to do. That's what he's starting to do. By being mistreated. Because he was perfect. He never did any wrong in word, thought, or deed. And yet he's treated like this. because they did not respect him. They did not accept him. And they didn't want to tolerate him anymore. This is how they treated our Lord, our Savior. Now in chapter 53 of Isaiah, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty. In other words, Christ, when he presented himself to the nation of Israel, he didn't look like any special person at all. He was just a humble man. Just a humble man. Nothing stood out about him that marked him any different. Just a humble man. He had no elegance about him that made him look like he would be a king. If you read in the Old Testament, Saul, the first king of Israel, when he was chosen, he was head and shoulders in height above all men in Israel. And there was an air about Saul that made him look like he would be of a kingly person. But Christ didn't have that about him. Christ didn't have that about him. He is despised. Christ is despised. Why was he despised? He never harmed anybody. He never did anybody wrong. But he's despised. Have you ever felt somebody despised you? You can see that today in some people. You meet them on the street, you never met them before, and you can see they don't like you at all. You see it in their eyes. Your eyes tell a lot about you. Your eyes give you away. You can see that today. The way people look at you. He's despised and he's rejected of men, the Bible says. This is how the Lord was treated. We're talking about a perfect man now, who never done anybody wrong. This is the way he's treated. We're talking about one who is God himself, the Creator, folks. Y'all listen? The Creator of man, who came as a man to live among men in order he might even save sinful man. An ignorant man didn't understand all that. And does man understand it today? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. He's a man of sorrows. Jesus went about with a heavy heart for people because of their sin and because they were not accepting him. That's sad, isn't it? When someone could help you and you would reject that help. Jesus offers to help you today, church family. But we have to allow him sometimes. We have to allow him sometimes. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We gave him no respect, Isaiah wrote, concerning the coming Messiah. Now this passage of Scripture is talking about, listen to me carefully, this is prophecy telling what's going to happen 700 years later, and it was carried out exactly. Think about that. This was prophesied 700 years before it actually happened, and it happened just like that. That's another way to know this old book here is the Word of God. And Isaiah had wrote it down 700 years beforehand, just the way he would be treated. Yeah, the Bible says we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah is writing. And yet the Jewish nation to this hour does not recognize it. Isn't that something? 2,000 years after Christ has came and fulfilled his scripture, the Jews still don't recognize it. They're still in blindness. They're still holding on to what Johnny in the lesson taught this morning, the Old Testament. They don't accept the New Testament. In fact, my understanding is they don't accept this chapter in the Old Testament, the Jews, because they don't accept Jesus as the Messiah. They don't claim him as their Messiah. They're waiting for their Messiah. They're still blind. They're still blind, living under the old covenant. And some of them don't live under any covenant. He was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross for our sin because he had no sin. He had not broken the law of God in any manner. He had not disobeyed his Father in any manner. But he's being treated in such a manner. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's not talking about physical healing, as some think that it does. In fact, there's churches that base their doctrine on, with his stripes you're healed of all your sicknesses. That's not true at all. That's not true in the least. It's talking about with his stripes our souls have been healed when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He heals your sin-sick soul when you get saved. It's healed right then and for eternity when you get saved, because you've been reconciled to God and given eternal life now. We were once dead in trespasses and sin, but now we've been healed by his stripes. But it took all this mistreatment for us to be healed. It took all this suffering for us to be healed. Our sins are that blatant against God. We don't think our sins are bad at all. But to God, who is holy, our view of God and his holiness is so dimmed today, even among church people. But God is a holy, holy, holy God. He's so holy, there's angels around his throne crying holy all the time because he's so holy. He can't look on sin. He can't tolerate sin. That's why he let his son pay for our sin. But it took all this mistreatment for him to do so. All this mistreatment to God's only Son. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because we are all sinners, the Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But God, in his grace, has took all of our sin, all of our sin, and I keep saying this, you can't say it too much, but he's took the sin of all men and took it and put it on Jesus. And then he's judging his son in our place so we won't be judged. Folks, we ought to be praising the Lord every day. I'm not going to face the judgment with sin. Now that I've been redeemed by the blood of the one that was mistreated in my place. Let me tell you something. Just because he was God in the human flesh, it hurt him just as much, it was it bodily, as it would you. It hurt him just as much. If you were taken out and beat with stripes, it would hurt you. It would hurt. It hurt him. He was almost beat to death at the post where he was being whipped. Some people were whipped to death, died from their inflictions. But Jesus was able to survive and be nailed to the cross later. The Bible says the Lord laid on him the iniquity, our sin. All of our sin was laid on Jesus. And he had come to pay for our sin. And he didn't just pay for your sin and mine. He paid for the sin of every person. But it's left up to every person to receive him as their Savior by faith. By faith. We believe by faith in what this book says. We accept what it says is the truth because it is the truth. The Bible says he was oppressed and he was afflicted. And you know what? He opened not his mouth. Boy, I'd have been a crying, wouldn't you? Amen. He didn't nod his mouth. He made no complaints. Isn't that something? Actually, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I'll tell you what, now that's something, ain't it? I just go to show you he weren't just some sinner man. He was. It's my turn now. He weren't a sinner man. He was God's man. Amen. When he's praying for the people that's mistreating him. That in itself tells you something, don't it? Yeah. He opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He was cut off. That is, he died on the cross. He died on the cross. Died at 33 years of age. Cut off from the land of the living. Mistreated by sinful man, but he was cut off for sinful man. That's the good news. Is there any scripture more pitiful than this passage of scripture in Isaiah 53? This is pitiful scripture. Revealing and showing us the sufferings, the mistreatment of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. It's amazing that God the Father could stand back and allow his Son to endure all of this. But God did. because God wanted you saved, me saved. He wanted man saved. He wanted to deal with the sin problem. Jesus was the only one to deal with the sin problem, and he did. Prophecy foretells of this coming treatment of Israel's Messiah, the Savior of the world. And the question is, why did they treat him like this? What did he do to justify the hatred that was vented against him? When he began his ministry, he began his ministry with great favor. Before long, the religious leaders turned upon him because they felt he was not their long-awaited Messiah. They all wanted a Messiah to come and deliver them from Roman dominion, but Jesus didn't come for that. That was what they wanted. It's not what they needed. What they needed was Jesus, and they didn't even know it. And that's the same problem with most people today. They need Jesus and they don't even know it. That's what the world needs today, is Jesus Christ, and the world don't know it. They don't believe it. I can make it on my own. I'm as good as the people at the church anyway. Yeah. A lot of people need Jesus today. They don't know it. What brought the hatred of him was when he began to proclaim he was the Son of God. That's what really turned the Jews on. Boy, that to them, that was blasphemous. Claiming to be equal with God and the Son of God, he'd have to go. And they began to make plans to get rid of him, the religious leaders. That was the last straw for them when he claimed to be the Son of God. Although Jesus was healing their sick and afflicted, he was cleansing the lepers. It was known he even raised the dead. And he was not going to be the one they recognized as their King and Messiah, just because he did those other things. Think of the lives that Jesus Christ did change while he was here. Lives that once were miserable and without hope. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, who had had an issue of blood for 18 years, was suddenly healed. The helpless man at the pool of Bethesda, who couldn't even have the strength to get into the pool. The woman caught in adultery, but she received forgiveness of her sins. The men who were blind, and they received their sight. The men who had demons in them that ruined and wrecked their lives and made their lives miserable, he cast those demons out. These and others had been blessed by the Lord, but the religious leader hated him still and would not accept him. The Pharisees were always trying to get the best of Jesus, trying to outsmart him. They failed every time. They failed every time. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed are beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Yeah, Jesus called them what they were. He knows the hearts of all people. And the religious leaders only had religion, and they did not know God, although they claimed to know God. But everything yellow is not gold, folks. Just because somebody claims to know the Lord don't mean they know the Lord. Jesus knew they were hypocrites and they were phonies. And today we got a lot of the same crowd around living, some of them posing as ministers of the Lord and children of God. Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Jesus knows every one of us that's saved, and we that are saved, we know him. Amen? We know him by faith. And the more we grow in the Lord, the realer he is to each of us. In John 14:7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, he said. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Even David in Psalm 22, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, told how the Savior would die. Isn't that amazing? David wrote, they pierced my hands and my feet. 1,000 years before he was crucified, he told us how Christ would die, folks. As we see in our text from Isaiah 53, 700 years before, he told of the sufferings of Christ. The Bible says in John 1:11, he came into his own, Lord be merciful, and his own received him not. Jesus Christ came to his own people, and his own people didn't accept him. Isn't that sad? You know, I don't know your in and outs in your families, but you may have somebody in your family that don't accept you. That happens. Family members don't accept some other family member sometimes. You know, if you read the headlines and listen to the headlines in the news today, I just saw the other day where this son killed his mother. It works. They killed their parents. Their children killed the parents. The parents killed the children. They don't accept one another. Isn't that sad? Your own family? I tell you what, somebody mess on my family, they're gonna have trouble. That's one thing my daddy told me, said, if there's anybody bothering your brothers and sisters, you take up for them, take care of them. Listen, folks, we're to love our families, we're to protect our families. Respect our families. God gave us our families. We're supposed to be special as a family. Respecting one another, loving one another. Junior's sitting back there right now. You know, we've been together all of our life. We've never gotten an argument. We've never been in an argument. I got a sister. Well, she could out-talk us, but you know. But we've never had family problems. We're a family, amen? The sufferings of the nation of Israel have been so sad since A.D. 70, when the Jews were scattered into all the nations of the world after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Think about the whole nation of Israel at AD 70 was scattered through all the nations of the world as a judgment by God. And then in my lifetime, they've started coming back and have formed their nation again. But you know what? They didn't come back on their own. This book says God brought them back. God's bringing them back. Let's turn it away from how Jesus was treated by his people. Let me ask you this. How do you and I treat Jesus? How do you and I treat Jesus? You ever think about that? Do you respect him? Do you accept him? Do you serve him? Hey, do you love him? Do you love him? You love Jesus? You know how much he loves you? He died for you. All this mistreatment we've been talking about was because he loved you that much. Did you know you're loved that much? And I think about, why would he love me so much? Why would he love us so much? And yet he does. He loves all men. But you're greatly loved, church. Don't you ever forget that. Brantley, don't you forget the Lord loves you. Amen. Don't you forget how much God loves you. You read that Isaiah 53 when you wonder about how much God loves you. He went all through that to be mistreated because he loves you that much. He cares for you that much. He wants you to spend eternity with you. Wants you to spend eternity with him that much. How much of your life do you give thinking about Jesus during the daytime? Do you ever think about Jesus during the day? You ever talk to Jesus as you go throughout the day? You ain't got to stop. You can talk to Jesus riding down the highway. You better be, amen? The way people drive now, you better be talking to him all the time. The Jewish nation did not comprehend that God would use humans to bring salvation to the world. After all, the Jews were God's people, so since they were God's people, they thought they had it made with God. Not true. The Jews had to offer up animal sacrifices. They didn't understand that it would require a human sacrifice to get rid of sin. The animal sacrifices only reminded them they were sinners and they needed a Savior. That's what the sacrificial system was about. But no animal had sinned against God. It was man that sinned against God. It was man that would need a human sacrifice to get rid of his sin. A perfect sacrifice, church. A perfect sacrifice who lived without sin before God and among men, and only Jesus qualified. Today we have the revealed word of God in history that confirms that God's Son did die upon a cross for the sins of all the world. That's a historical fact. So the question is, how do we treat him today? How do we treat the Lord today? There's nothing in life more serious than what have you done with Jesus Christ? Cancer is not as serious. a heart attack is not as serious. Nothing is as serious as rejecting Jesus as your Savior. You can have cancer and die and go to heaven, but you can reject Jesus Christ and die and go to hell. You hear me? You can have a heart attack and die and go to heaven, but you reject Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell forever. That's how serious it is. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, no matter what you think, you will be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone at the judgment if you don't know Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 28:14, and fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Revelation 20:14, the Apostle John wrote, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what's going to be the future judgment at the great white throne. Everybody whose name is not written down as being saved in the Lamb's book of life, all those people will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Did you know it grieves the Lord when we are unfaithful and unmindful of Him? We neglect His word. We neglect time with Him. We neglect His church. Did you know that grieves God? When we're not mindful, when we fail to listen to Him, He knows we will miss a blessing. When we don't listen to the Lord, we're going to miss blessings. He wants to bless us. Now, we as humans, we think of a blessing. Well, Lord, you're going to send me a pile of money. Or you're going to give me a bigger, better job. No, that's not really God's best blessings. God's best blessings are spiritual in nature. God's best blessing is, I want to use you, sister. I want to use you, brother, to help somebody else know the Lord. That's God's best blessings. Did you know that, church? To be used of the Lord is much richer blessing than to have material things. This old nature of ours wants material things, don't it? Amen? Come on now, be honest. That's the human nature. But He wants to bless us. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. We need to be reading the Word of God, taking the Word of God into our hearts and our lives, knowing the promises of God, being reminded of God's love for all of us. It's important, church. God's got big plans for everyone in this room. God's got big plans. He's going to show you His glory one day, and you're going to say, oh, it's more than I could even think about. It will be. It will be. In His high priestly prayer, Jesus, when He was praying to the Father in John 17:14, said, I have given them Thy word. We have the word. There's not anything in this world more important than this word, because it rings with eternal blessings for everyone that believes it. Eternal blessings. They won't rust. They won't wear out. Amen. They won't be discarded. They're eternal. And the Bible says we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge. We get the knowledge from the Word. Grow in grace. Learn how to live a life to please the Lord. To be used of the Lord, church. This is so important. In Psalm 138:2, listen to this. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God respects his word above his name. Amen? Wow. In closing, God describes what he's going to do for Jesus because of his suffering. Did you know that? God's going to reward Jesus for suffering like he did. Amen? God's going to reward you for serving the Lord. Amen? You like that part, don't you? He's going to reward Jesus for suffering for you. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:10, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Think of all the millions and millions of people that's going to be in heaven because of the way Jesus was treated. Think about that. The millions of people. Because Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross. Willingly gave his life on a cross. He rejoiced to go to that cross because being who he was, he could see what he was going to gain. He gained you and you and you to be with him to spend eternity. And to him it was worth dying. Can you get this? It was worth dying in his mind in order to save you. All his mistreatment. Great day, Lord. How mercy. Great day. What a Savior, folks. What a Savior. It's the desire of Jesus to show us his glorious kingdom. Boy, when we see the kingdom. Now, you think you've seen some beautiful places in this world. Let me tell you what you've seen so far. Trash dumps compared to what you'll see in heaven. You ain't seen nothing pretty till you get to heaven. Boy, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious forever. And beyond the glory that we're going to see is the relationships we're going to have with other people that we don't even know now, but we will then. And most wonderfully, being with the one that would love us so much, he'd be treated like he's been treated. Church, let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's work for the Lord. Let's try to get people to serve the Lord. Invite people to church. Satan and his host of angelic fallen creatures and the unrepentant sinners of all mankind was going to be forever separated from us and put in everlasting destruction and darkness. We're going to a place where there's not going to be any satanic activity at all. No oppressions. We're going to a glorious place to spend eternity, church, in an environment of love like you can't imagine. And I can't imagine. And no devil or angel will ever mistreat us again. nor our Savior. Won't that be something? Praise God. You won't be taken advantage of anymore by this world system that we're in today. You know what the world system is doing today to me and you? It's making us pay to have unborn babies murdered. Our government takes our money to kill babies. Amen? Somebody's going to answer for all that, folks. It's going to be something awful. Our Savior was mistreated. You may be mistreated. Hey, but did our Savior rebuke them? No. Did our Savior tell them off? No. What did our Savior do? Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do, was his attitude. Boy, we've got a lot to learn, haven't we? We've got a lot of growing. Let's grow in grace. Loving God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this congregation of people. Lord, have your way in every one of our hearts. Give us a hunger to draw nigh to God. Give us a hunger to be used of the Lord. Lord, let us all say together, Lord, use me. Use me to help others know the love of God in Jesus Christ. Forgive us where we fail you. Bless all our privilege and duty to pray for. And we praise you in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak.